evening. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, the presidential address in the time of COVID. President Biden delivering his first speech to a socially distant joint session of Congress, reflecting on the key issues dividing the country and unity. For the very latest, we go to ABC's Rachel Scott reporting from our nation's capital. Rachel.
It is an ambitious agenda. It's unclear whether or not President Joe Biden even has the support within his own party to get it done. But tonight, the president laying out a plan to address infrastructure, child care, health care. The total price tag on this, $8 trillion, a number that is too high for Republicans. But the president saying tonight, doing nothing is not an option. But he is under immense pressure to try and find some common ground with Republicans on his next legislative push. One of the areas tonight he said he is making progress on is the issue of police reform. He says he'd like to get something done by the month of May. And while much of the focus was on President Joe Biden, it was the two women behind him that made history for the first time. Two women sitting behind a president of the United States during a joint session of Congress. Byron?
Thank you, Rachel. For more on the highlights of the presidential address, here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
In his first address to Congress, the 46th president of the United States embodying the slogan, go big or go home.
We also need to make a once-in-a-generation investment in our families and our children.
Proposing the largest expansion of government programs in more than 50 years, $1.8 trillion for the American Families Plan that provides universal preschool, creates a paid family leave program, and makes 2 years of community colleges free.
No one should have to choose between a job and a paycheck or taking care of themselves and their loved ones or parent or spouse or child.
The president focusing on his vision for the economy, tying his American jobs plan to everything from union organizing.
The middle class built the country, and unions built the middle class.
To climate change.
When I think climate change, I think jobs.
And his ambitious agenda paid for by raising taxes on corporations and the 1%.
I'm not looking to punish anybody. But I will not add a tax burden, additional tax burden, to the middle class in this country. They're already paying enough.
During his remarks, the president sort of skirted the actual massive price tags for these plans, but he was clear who he thought should pick up the bill. He has said repeatedly, and he said again during his speech, he thinks that corporations should be paying more, and he thinks that high income earners should be paying more.
President Biden spent 8 years sitting behind President Obama for these speeches, and for 35 years before that, listening in the audience as a senator. Now at 78, he believes his moment has come.
America is ready for a takeoff, in my view. We're working again, dreaming again, discovering again, and leading the world again.
As the paralysis from a national pandemic slowly lifts, the president celebrating the bipartisan effort to get the country on the road to recovery.
Together we passed the American Rescue Plan, one of the most consequential rescue packages in American history. We're already seeing the results.
Highlighting the role of government in the country's mass vaccination drive.
Thanks to all the help of all of you. We're marshaling, with your help, everyone's help, we're marshaling every federal resource. We've gotten vaccines to nearly 40,000 pharmacies.
According to the most recent ABC News Washington Post poll, the public gives the president his highest marks for handling the pandemic, with 64% approving. But the country remains bitterly divided, beset by intractable problems like immigration.
Immigrants have done so much for America during this pandemic and throughout our history. The country supports immigration reform. We should act.
Tonight, President Biden calling on Congress to pass the immigration reform bill he sent to Congress his first day in office.
For more than 30 years, politicians have talked about immigration reform, and we've done nothing about it. It's time to fix it.
This comes in the face of a record increase in migrants. 172,000 stopped along the southwest border just in March, the largest total since the early 2000s. And unaccompanied children are the faces of this latest crisis, with right now about 22,118 unaccompanied migrant minors in U.S. custody. Biden came into office pledging to usher in a new era of U.S. immigration policy by rolling back Trump's hardline agenda. As part of one of his early executive orders, Biden established a task force to locate and reunite migrant parents and children who remain separated at the southern border. But as of early April, the task force was yet to reunite a single family. Another divisive issue the president thinks he can get both sides to work together on: gun control.
We need more Senate Republicans to join the overwhelming majority of Democratic colleagues and close the loopholes required in background check purchases of guns. We need a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And don't tell me it can't be done.
Already in 2021, there's been more than 13,000 deaths from gun violence and more than 160 mass shootings.
The flag at the White House was still flying at half-mast for the 8 victims of the mass shooting in Georgia, when 10 more lives were taken in a mass shooting in Colorado. And in the week in between those two events, 250 other Americans were shot dead in the streets of America. 250 shot dead.
Biden also urging senators to pass the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act before the first anniversary of his death.
We have to come together to rebuild trust between law enforcement and the people they serve, to root out systemic racism in our criminal justice system, and to enact police reform in George Floyd's name. While the setting tonight is familiar, this gathering is just a little bit different. Reminder of the extraordinary times we're in.
The usually packed House chamber was sparse, just 200 senators and members of Congress, some picked in a lottery, instead of the usual packed crowd. No guest with the First Lady Jill Biden, but there was a new and historic visual.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President. No president has ever said those words from this podium. No president has ever said those words. And it's about time.
For the first time, two women, the vice president and the House Speaker, number 2 and 3 in the line of succession, sitting right behind the president.
It was such a powerful image, a moment that this country has never seen before. And you could tell the president wanted to relish in it.
Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, the only black Republican senator and a rising star in the GOP, delivered his party's response to the address.
We also heard about a so-called family plan, even more taxing, even more spending, to put Washington even more in the middle of your life, from the cradle to college.
Criticizing the president's big wish list.
A president who promised to bring us together should not be pushing agendas that tear us apart.
But for the president, standing in the space under attack just months ago, affirming his faith in democracy, his eternal optimism for what the country can accomplish.
It's never, ever, ever been a good bet to bet against America, and it still isn't. We're the United States of America. There's not a single thing, nothing beyond our capacity. We can do whatever we set our minds to if we do it together. So let's begin to get together. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm now joined by Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy of America, Chris Christie, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, and Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and a Democratic advisor. Rahm, let's begin with you. Biden unveiled the biggest expansion of government programs in more than 50 years. Will he be able to get any of it done?
Well, he's already gotten a large piece of it done. I mean, look at the child tax credit and that investment, which is significant. He's also hit upon something on education that Republican governors, Democratic mayors about, which is adding 4 years to a child's education. We live in a period of time where you earn what you learn, and there's a lot of effort by Republican governors and Republican congressmen for that type of free education and expanding and making sure everybody has a chance to compete for the American dream. And I do think what's going to happen in this area, Byron, you're going to get a traditional infrastructure bill that will get bipartisan support. They're going to use the revenues from the tax gap and tax cheats who don't pay their fair share. And then he'll go through another process, getting corporate taxes up, et cetera, and produce the revenue for the other pieces of the agenda. And I think when we look back a year from now, we're going to be awed at how much he got done of investments in research and development, infrastructure, education, and support for American families so they can raise their kids with a middle-class lifestyle.
Chris, earlier on ABC, you compared the president's speech to a 15-year-old with a credit card. President Biden has big plans. Are the Republicans going to give him anything?
Sure. Republicans will give him a traditional infrastructure plan that would be the largest infrastructure plan that this country has ever seen. And we've already seen Republicans indicate they're willing to do that, put forward a very significant plan as a start to those negotiations with the president. So they definitely will. But look, Rahm, Joe Biden sold himself as two things in the campaign, that he was going to be a uniter that was going to bring the country and both parties together, and that he was going to be a transitional president to the next generation of Democratic and Republican leaders in this country. He's now decided, when he's gotten into office and living in the White House, that he wants to spend multiple times more than Franklin Roosevelt did in four terms, in one term, without either a depression or a world war. The American people are, in the end, not going to support this, especially when they find out that people who quit their job are going to get 75% of their salary under unemployment under this plan. They're simply not going to be supporting that. Everybody from small businesses to people who work hard.
Yvette, next question for you. You're from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Did the president go far enough for you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we want to talk about the highlights first. I mean, I think the $15 an hour, saying that out loud, sounded great, but he didn't include that in reconciliation when he had the chance. So the question is, when is and how is he going to get that done? You know, health care is one of the major issues facing most Americans, and I don't think the ACA revisions or the prescription drug revisions he talks about goes far enough. You know, we know there's a lot of support for public option and lowering the age of eligibility for Medicare. He didn't talk about any of that. I know that a lot of folks are still concerned about criminal justice reform, not just police brutality, but ending cash bail, legalizing marijuana, a ton of support for that. And we think that he didn't go far enough in the infrastructure plan. Progressives are supporting the Thrive Act, which is $10 trillion over the next 10 years in investments on environmental justice, racial justice, and jobs and equity, and, of course, in infrastructure. And we think there's a lot more that this president can do, particularly talking about coming out of one of the most significant pandemics we've ever seen in our country's history.
From the border, how does Biden allow for a more open border than under President Trump, but not have this crisis? Can he achieve both?
Well, Byron, I think he laid out two parts in that area. One is he did talk about the border and did talk about enforcement. He said we have a comprehensive bill, but he did say at a minimum we should agree on Dreamers, that there's bipartisan support, making sure that the kids who are here in America, no fault of their own, what their parents did, who've lived their whole life, known nothing but America, should become citizens. Now, here's what I think is missing. Joe Biden is authentic to himself. It is the secret sauce that has worked for him in the campaign, both in the general and the primary. It is working for him in his presidency. It's why the Republicans really don't have a beat on him on how to demonize him, or they're trying to do it on the policies. And the policies come across as common sense. Invest in America and invest in Americans so we can succeed. And he will get a bipartisan bill done on infrastructure. He will get a bipartisan bill done on police reform. And he will make that step-by-step progress. And there's going to be a lot of support. But I guarantee you, as we look down the horizon and look backwards, in a year from now, you're going to see a major parts of his agenda done. And what he's succeeded at in doing is, yes, it is big, it's bold, it's progressive, it's what America's need to do, and it doesn't come off threatening to the swing voters. That is what is the secret sauce of the Biden presidency to date.
Love talking to you guys. We're running short on time, but Chris, I have a final question for you, 30 seconds if you can. Breaking news away from Capitol Hill. The FBI raided the home and office of Rudy Giuliani as part of a criminal probe into his dealings in Ukraine. Should the former president, Donald Trump, be worried?
No, I have no idea, but what I would say is that it's a very serious step for the Justice Department to authorize a search warrant of an attorney, of someone who was an attorney for a former president, and for someone who was a former law enforcement official himself. And so the development is very disturbing for those of us who count Mayor Giuliani as a friend, and I'm one of those. And I'm hoping, very much hoping on a personal basis, that he comes through this okay. But I also know that in this country, the justice is to be done. And I hope that in this case, that leads to a good day for Rudy Giuliani and not a bad one.
And finally tonight, commanding the floor.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
Escorting President Biden and making history, the new and 38th House Sergeant at Arms, Major General William J. Walker.
General Walker, do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States?
The first black man to serve in that position, Walker's appointment coming after 39 years of decorated military experience and the January insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. History made on many fronts tonight. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.